You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son on WJFF.
And that's my mother, Patricia Adams.
And that's my son, Ramsey Adams.
Oh, yeah.
The show is like mother, like son?
Yes. That's right, with
really?
A question mark.
With a question mark.
Right. You know, it's a mother-son thing.
Turn and face the strain. Changes. Don't want to be a richer man.
You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son on Radio JFF. This is my mother, Patricia Adams.
And that's my son, Ramsey Adams.
We're in the studio with our producer, Mark Sutton.
All right, we're rolling.
You know, we got so much response from our interview with Reed about his cuddle parties. People want to think, have been saying, you know, it'd be nice to put on your pajamas and go to a cuddle party.
You know, I want to go to a cuddle party right about now. I'm tired. I want to be cuddled. I want to go to a cuddle party.
Taking the night off and getting touch back. Touch is bad. 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 Touch is bad.
There's food and drinks and...
We've got snacks and, you know, juice and crackers and cookies and grapes. Snacks. Juice. Crackers. Cookies. Grapes. Grapes.
I want to go to a cuddle party.
Okay, and that was the Cuddle Party remix by Paul Kalkin. All right, so our guest today is a modern dancer who comes originally from Brazil. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but I actually, as a composer, have done a lot of collaborations with modern dance. So I've been a big fan of modern dance for a long time. So do you guys see a lot of dance?
I actually don't see a lot of dance, so I'm interested in hearing about it, and I'm more of a – I'm hardly an expert, although I've seen some.
One of my best friends was the director, star dancer in Palabolas.
Oh.
You know, that dance troupe out of Connecticut?
Yeah.
Becca, Jason's wife, and so that's my best connection to
– Okay, so our guest today is – performer and choreographer Regina Naaman, and she has a show coming up next weekend, February 15th through the 18th, and the show is called Frozen Baby. Welcome to Like Mother, Like Son, Regina.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Regina, I'm going to ask you first right away, what is Frozen Baby?
Wow.
It sounds a little scary, I might say.
I know. It's... Well, I create these environments in my pieces, and sometimes I come up with these crazy titles in my head that I can't live it out for some reason. It just stays there, and I have to create the piece. It will just not go away until I do it. So Frozen Baby came up, the idea maybe like a year ago, this title just popped into my head.
So the title comes first in a way? Or
sometimes,
the image, a sort of image maybe?
Sometimes the title comes together with an emotion.
Okay.
So, and then, not always, but sometimes I get with these titles in my head and it, that and the emotions, and then things start opening up and other visual ideas also pop in, and that takes me somewhere.
So sort of the words, the vision, the emotions work together to create form and movement. Would you say that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what I am intrigued about is the art form of modern dance and the process of articulating that art. It's a very emotional and physical exercise. And I wonder, did you study dance formally in Brazil, or did you sort of grow up dancing? How did you arrive to become such a spectacular modern dancer that you have a feature at the Joyce?
Thank you. Well, I grew up into it. I grew up in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And obviously everybody knows about the carnival. It's actually next weekend in February. It just happens all over the city. Everything stops and it's music and dance everywhere on the streets. And I was exposed to that as a young child. And before I even had any formal training, then as I got older, I got more interested in movement, and I went through the gymnastics as well. And then later on, as a teenager, was when I started my formal training with ballet, and then modern dance came later as a second thought.
When you refer to that, you know what I remember is that wonderful movie, Black Orpheus, that was made in Brazil. This would have been a movie in the 50s. Do any of you even know about that? It's full of
absolutely,
dance and color,
yeah,
and movement. And so when you describe your childhood surrounded by carnival, I think of that. And so I can understand how that essence of light and color and movement would affect you in terms of a dancer and developing your interest in dancing and art.
Yeah, I've seen that movie. It's pretty great. Yeah, I think the carnival, I mean, that's a moment when everybody from whatever in society you are and the whole culture just comes together and there is this whole thing for 4 days. It's like everything stops and, you know.
So it really was a real pivotal event in your coming to become a dancer is carnival. I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't have any kind of... There's no, you know, city or, you know, the St. Patrick's Day parade doesn't quite do it.
Although, you know, I won't be able to give the author, but there's a new book about the sort of the joy of celebration and how important that is to humankind. And they use carnival as an example where it's almost transcendental. You go out beyond yourself when you're in costume and when there's music and when there's movement. And I would assume that with dance is also a potentially transcendental sort of experience.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, it's something that comes with you, and then you're exposed to these other situations that maybe encourage even more that, or as you were discovering yourself, so that I was very physical also. I used to love climbing on trees and running, so that was all part of my growing up. So for me, all of that came together into, later on by making this decision to be.
So you said you studied ballet in, yeah, Brazil?
Yes, I started with a Russian teacher,
uh-huh,
in Rio de Janeiro.
Private kind of, or a school?
Yeah, it was a school. First I got into, you know, after being so physical and running and all that stuff, I saw people doing gymnastics in my high school. And I didn't know what that was. I started imitating what they were doing. And then we had a teacher, and that brought me into gymnastics. For the gymnastics, I was required to study ballet.
You know, in the reviews of your work, your dance is described as very robust. And I'm wondering about the line between gymnastics and dance. Or do you think there is a line? Or, you know, how do you combine the two? Or, you know, could somebody say, and I'm not saying that they have that,
I'm just a bunch
of gymnastics.
I'm going to throw out my thought on that, and correct me if I'm wrong. Gymnastics is a sport, and dance is an art.
But visually on the stage, where is the difference?
Gymnastics isn't on a stage.
Well, Regina, what do you think about the robustness of your work and the athleticism combined with the fluidity of dance?
Well, it's very athletic. We sometimes put one movement from gymnastics, but it's not gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
We use a lot of physical connection between the dancers as well. So, that all comes together in this physicality that's created through movement that we explore in the studio, and you know, according to what the piece is doing emotionally or whatever, that comes. But the, yeah, the physicality, I think it's something that I had in me, I have in me,
right.
and it just kind of
expresses itself.
Expresses. So it's a combination of different styles, you could say, like, you know, creating my own style that has all this.
Now, when you're working with your dance troupe, people that you've choreographed, that you know in your mind what you want, how do you express that? I mean, you don't draw lines on the floor and say move here and there. How do you impart to your troupe what you're feeling, what you've done with this thing you've created that's a dance?
Right. When I go in the beginning of the piece, of the creation of the work, I have some, besides having the dancers there that I want to use, I have some ideas, movement ideas that I teach them. But beyond that, and having some emotional necessity of what I want to do with the work, I don't know what else is going to happen.
It's sort of, you open it up.
I don't have a script. I don't know. And then it's a whole unknown for a while we are discovering. Mm-hmm. And
so in the discovery process, you are discovering things that you want them to do, and then you teach them move by move what to do. So there's not improvisation at the show, right? They're doing something they have practiced specifically, right?
Well, there is improvisation.
Oh, there is improvisation.
There are parts
okay.
that are improvised as well. Okay. There is a structure, choreography, and there is improvisation as well.
Now, I understand on this show you also are working with a composer, right?
Yes.
And his name is?
Mio Morales.
Okay, let's listen to some of the music. Why don't you listen to track 2 from your show. Tell us about this one.
Well, the music is created after we, I think this one specifically was after we had the movement set. It's this music, it's a solo that I do in the beginning of the piece. So Mio comes in and take a look of what the movement is doing and what the what the overall idea is of the environment of the piece, and creates the music.
All right, let's listen to this. This is from Frozen Baby, Regina Neiman's dance concert, and this is music by Mio Morales. And we're back with choreographer Regina Neiman. This is music from her upcoming show, Frozen Baby. And that didn't sound like carnival, but at least the carnival that I know. So talk about that.
You know, I want to say, too, that maybe it was Frozen Baby, but that music sounded so cold and eternal. And from nature, almost, kind of like the winds blowing across the ice.
And then it almost sounded like a siren, kind of. It almost like a nuclear apocalyptic siren.
You could say a little bit of that. There's this feeling of futuristic stuff. Well, the carnival in this piece, it's not a direct thing. Actually, we've been talking about the carnival, but it's like it's my influence and stuff. But
And let's talk about this picture too, because the picture on your flyer for the show and on your website is such a cool picture. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the picture was taken during the carnival when I was like about 5 or 6 years old, and I had these big eyelashes, and I was dressed as a Hawaiian, and then that's when this picture was taken. Cool. And I like the picture because it was it's a child's picture and had this look.
Is there anything about your childhood in the show then? Like, did you feel like you were a frozen baby?
Well, no. No, I mean, you know, women are called baby, and, you know, and you get to a point in your life that maybe, okay, you're like, okay, I've done this and this and that, and now what, sort of thing, you know, so it was relating to that feeling, you know, but...
You mean the feeling of being an adult but still being called baby? Is that what you said?
No, I'm just saying it comes from many different places. Like
okay.
it's kind of like open. It's like an open whatever it reverbs on you about that title. Like
okay.
You know, like there are all these different things. You know, frozen baby, and you know, and
this raises a really, you know, to me the most fascinating part of this interview and talking with you and the nature of this interview. And essentially the critique of modern dance in words. I mean, we're not watching you right now because this is radio. So instead we're talking to you, and, you know, the New York Times writes a review of you. I know a photographer friend of mine has been assigned to take for the New York Times is going to be taking a photograph of you, and somebody's going to write a review that says, you know, it was graceful and exuberant, and, you know, it's a very interesting experience to put a description in words on dance.
It's really true. If you could talk, you wouldn't have to dance. Dancing
exactly.
goes beyond words, and that's the reason it's hard to kind of work that. Yeah, to talk.
And then,
to talk,
you know,
about it.
When we're sitting here quizzing you on why Frozen Baby, I mean, people.
But I can say something more about the title Frozen Baby. I mean, you know, there's so many. You know, also, okay, let me get it together. You know, for women, because my work, you know, I'm a woman, and I always often put the women's voices in the work, which I find that obviously being a woman and growing up in this contemporary society and all the expectations and choices that you have in your life, and, you know, it can kind of freeze sometimes, you know. If you compare or this or that, and then you have to find your own way in this life to kind of like what works for me and the things that, you know, gives me pleasure and I like to do, and how to incorporate the whole thing into my life, you know,
mm-hmm.
as a woman, as an artist living in this crazy world today, and, you know, coming from another culture and incorporating a new culture, which becomes part of yourself, the whole thing, you know? So it's, maybe the title has to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about your earlier piece. And again, I think this is something we can actually talk about, because I would wonder if there's a political or social message. I'm talking about the velocity of things. And if you don't mind, just for our listeners, I'll kind of describe what it is. And this is from a review. The velocity of things takes us to the beach. Everyone is wearing bathing togs that hark back to 40s movies. The ladies switch between shiny, screaming red stilettos and bare feet. And then they have 10 buckets abound filled with sand that gets poured back and forth like the contents of an hourglass. Now, is there a political or social message there, or what's going on in this, the velocity of things? And you can talk about the title, too, these people. And there's one guy, I guess, four women and a guy. Okay.
I don't know if it's political. I don't know if a woman, maybe a woman in red shoes could be political. Showing your body on stage is political.
Right.
You know.
Or does it have to do with the passage of time, since I mentioned the hourglass?
Yeah, the hourglass, yes. I wanted to show this in this piece. During the process of creating it, there was this thing about time that I wanted to express. And I thought, okay, a digital clock will be good, or maybe a big clock will be good. But then I didn't have those things, and I thought of the sand as time passing. And
sands
then,
of time is a phrase, yeah.
Yeah, and then I incorporated these buckets, and then it was then the buckets became more part of the piece, which then it suggested other images that I saw growing up. And I guess these things are all just pulled through memory, through like images, through experience. I used to see these people, poor people going up with the buckets on their heads up the hill, up to the favelas, because they had no water when I was growing up. Nowadays, there is water. But so all those images came about, and I think that's what happens with my pieces. These things come out.
As you're developing
it. I'm developing it. And I think, there is a social connection and political connection into it.
Let me ask you how you arrive at the place that you are in the modern dance movement, you know, as an accomplished, successful modern dancer, choreographer, starting in Rio de Janeiro. How do you end up in New York City at the Joyce? What was the path that took you there? Did you dance in a troupe that brought you to New York and you met people and then you danced and got... relationships, or was it a job? How did you get to this point?
After high school, I wanted to come to New York because I had been here when I was 16 with my mom, or 15. I was here for like 2 months, and I loved it. And I was so much taken by it. I also had seen The Turning Point, that movie, and I was just, oh, my God. And then I came to New York, and I saw the whole thing, and I was just like, I have to come back. I saw a lot of shows, museums, and I'm like, I got to come back. So I finished high school and, spent another year finishing my dance school in Rio, and then decided to come to New York to study. I got a scholarship at the Joffrey Ballet back then. One thing just took into the other, and then I was doing ballet first. I got my first job after 6 months being here, and then...
So you studied the job. You went to the Joffrey Ballet.
I got a scholarship at the Joffrey Ballet. Because I couldn't afford classes. Mm-hmm. So that was the only way I could continue my studies. So I came to study, and then later on I started getting jobs.
Well, that explains it. I mean, you know,
right. One thing leads to
choreography. Was much later. It was like after 10 years being a dancer, I started looking for my own language, and then did a solo, did another solo, then duet, and one thing led to another. Then I started self-producing my shows, and
so let's go back to Frozen Baby right now. Let's hear another clip from your show. Frozen Baby is coming up February 15th through the 18th. And
8 p.m.
Yeah, give us all the details for our listeners.
It's at 8 p.m. at the Joy Soho from the 15th through the 18th. And it's at 155 Mercer Street, which is between Houston Street and Prince Street, located in Soho, obviously. And, yeah, come down. It'll be a lot of fun.
Okay, great. So this is another piece of music. Just track number 4. Tell us a little bit about this.
Right. Okay. That's the beginning of the second session. I cannot tell you. It's a surprise of what's happening
all right,
there.
All right. So let's just listen to a little of this. We've been talking with choreographer and performer Regina Naaman, whose show Frozen Baby is happening February 15th through the 18th. You can check our website for details, www.likemotherlikeson.org. We'll have all the details of the performance and how to get tickets.
Thanks, Regina. It was good talking to you, and good luck with Frozen Baby.
Yeah, Regina, I don't know why we say this in America, but break a leg.
Thank you.
Not a good thing to say for a dancer.
Well, I think it is, though. I think that's part of the whole...
those Americans.
Those crazy Americans.
Thank you for listening to Like Mother, Like Son on Radio Jeff. This has been Mark Sutton.
This is Patricia Adams.
And I'm Ramsey Adams.
Visit us online at www.likemotherlikeson.org. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.